WILL-AM 580 and 90.9 FM HD2 and HD3 Urbana.
This is Keeping the Faith, a weekly discussion about issues of faith, spirituality, religion, and ethics. Now here's your host, Steve Shoemaker.
The Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. wrote, "Wars are poor chisels for carving out peaceful tomorrows." Today on Keeping the Faith, we have some folks from the organization that uses that as their motto, September 11 Families for Peaceful Tomorrows. Today we'll be talking by phone with Donna O'Connor and Nancy Meyer during the first part of our program, and then Donna will continue, and we're going to try, if technology allows, to add Talat Hamdani for the second half of the program. But right now we have Donna and Nancy on the phone. Can you both hear me?
Yes.
Great. It's good to have you here. Donna, let's start with you. Would you tell us how you got involved with this organization? Of course, we know that you lost a family member in 9/11, but tell us how you came to be part of Peaceful Tomorrows.
You know, when you're embroiled in a tragedy like 9/11, 8 years, it's kind of, it's an elastic number. It seems like yesterday, it seems like many yesterdays ago, and it's hard at any given point in time to remember what you were thinking when. I do remember on September 12th when I was interviewed by my local television station in the Syracuse area, Syracuse, New York. I remember saying then that before we drop one bomb or send one fighter jet over to hurt anyone in another country, that we ought to really be thinking about what we have done here. And in so many ways, I go back to that thinking, you know, that was really as clear-headed as I have been since 9/11. It didn't make sense to me to just immediately pick up the first weapon and go after someone else. So I think that's what got me here. I don't remember exactly when I joined officially September 11th Families for Peaceful Tomorrows. That, I think, you would have to ask someone who's been here longer and with clearer memory than I.
In reading some of the information about Peaceful Tomorrows on your very good website, peacefultomorrows.org, it mentions that "Not in Our Son's Name," wrote Phyllis and Orlando Rodriguez, founding members of Peaceful Tomorrows, in a letter to then-President Bush, postmarked September 15, 2001, as there were many calls for war and revenge being heard all around the country. So apparently that might have been the genesis of the organization.
Right.
And there are many things that the group is doing now. Let's just jump immediately to the present. And Donna, tell us a little bit about some of the things that Peaceful Tomorrows is doing now, this group of 200 or so core members of families of victims and many supporters. What are some of the things being done to try to bring about a peaceful response as opposed to a violent response?
Well, I think several of our members are, you know, actively involved in reaching out to Iraqi civilians who have been displaced. They've lost family members. They're in many ways in the same boat we are. We have members trying to, you know, build bridges between Iraqi civilians and American citizens. We also have a very active initiative to close Guantanamo Bay. We believe it's a blight on the American soul. And, you know, we have had, since the beginning of Peaceful Tomorrows, various initiatives reaching out across the globe to people who have been victims of war and terrorist acts.
And you have even tried to do some response in Afghanistan and being opposed to increasing, sending more American soldiers there at this point.
Well, I won't say that, you know, we're in unanimous agreement there. We're in unanimous agreement that we shouldn't be sending soldiers there to enact war.
Okay.
We are conflicted, some of us, about whether or not we should be sending, you know, peacekeeping forces to Afghanistan. And, you know, maybe Nancy can add to this as well. You know, there's a point at which when we haven't crafted a collective statement where I will tell you what I think, but
sure.
I won't speak for the group.
Of course.
This is a group where I think the leadership has been outstanding. And, you know, policies and principles have been developed over the 8 years, many of which I am just learning. And I want to be very careful not to overstep my bounds or speak incorrectly, because I know how much people have put into this movement. And it's a movement that has intellectually sustained me. This was not always front and center what I was doing with my time after 9/11, and I always knew they were there doing really the honorable work and really came actively on board when I thought I was needed.
Now, Nancy, your title right now is director of the
yes.
organization,
mm-hmm.
and you're in Nebraska.
That's right.
And what sort of motivated you to finally step forward and say, I do want to be not only a part of this, but I'm willing to take the leadership responsibilities?
Well, as far as becoming a part of Peaceful Tomorrows, I have to say that I found out about them on the web. I kind of, like Donna, I don't remember the exact date that I joined, but I do remember finding this organization and stumbling across them and saying to myself, "Wow, this is for me. This is what I've been thinking too." And as I got more involved over the years, I felt more of a need to become, you know, more involved. And then we have what is called a steering committee. That makes decisions on behalf of the organization, and so I was asked to join that. And, you know, gradually, then when the project director job came open, I was asked to fulfill that role. So I said, all right. The organization is staffed by a lot of wonderful people, really wonderful people.
And by staff, do you mean volunteers?
Volunteers, yeah.
Sure.
I should say that. The steering committee and all of the family members who get involved, very good people with very, very good intentions, only the best of intentions at heart for everyone. They are not, taking any kind of knee-jerk reaction. Everything that we issue is a very considered opinion. We discuss the many nuances of issues before we settle on language and issue statements and letters and positions of any kind. But we are all united around the concept that, you know, we do not want any more violence in any form. We really would like to have people take a second look at some of the things that our country has done in the name of 9/11 mm-hmm. and think about whether that's really going to solve the problems that brought about 9/11. And so we speak out in response to some of those things. And we also, as Donna mentioned, we have specific campaigns with respect to, say, Guantanamo and Afghanistan to have our voices heard. I think as families, we have a unique perspective that way. And I think that's maybe of interest to, you know, the many, many people who were affected by 9/11, we have a very personal connection, not just a national one.
I noticed that your bylaws say that people who are on the steering committee are people who did have family members who were killed in September 11. 2001, but anybody else can join the organization that agrees with its purpose. And you have many people who have joined who are not personally involved in that way, who support the organization financially and join in the various demonstrations you've had and marches and letter writing campaigns to Congress and so on. Give a little bit of information how the listeners to this program on WILL here in Central Illinois and Central Indiana could participate if they chose.
Well, I hope Donna can weigh in on this too, but I would just say that, you know, the first step would be going to our website, which is www.peacefultomorrows.org, and there is a place where you can click on to support us. And you can become a member there. You can send in a donation, and you can see our address and contact us.
And you are a nonprofit
We are
organization.
A nonprofit. Yes. We are a project of Tides, which is our 501c3 entity.
Yes.
Okay. And so if if people want to look at our website, I definitely ask them to, you know, read all the many things on the website and contact us. I mean, it's wonderful to have more people involved and interested at any level at all if their involvement needs to be. So,
and since this is a live call-in show, let me give the phone numbers for listeners who may like to talk right now, person to person, with our two guests today, Nancy Meyer, who is the project director for Peaceful Tomorrows, and Donna O'Connor, who's a member and member of the steering committee. To reach our studios here in Champaign, Illinois, you may dial 1-800-222-9455. That's a toll-free call, of course. Local callers may punch in 333-9455. So if you're in the Champaign-Urbana area, please use our local lines. That's 333-WILL. If it's long distance, 1-800-222-WILL. 1-800-222-9455. We're happy to have comments or questions.
I'd like to just say one more thing. I want to amend what I said on the support us part of our website. You could become a volunteer, but the place to look to become a member would be under the contact us.
Great.
Link.
Okay, and so you are happy to have people volunteer as well as to support you financially. Let's talk a little bit about some of the things that the organization has done very successfully already. I was pleased to learn that you recently received an organization that you have supported in Iraq recently received an award from the Fellowship of Reconciliation. The group is called La Anf, which is the Arabic word for no violence, and its work in Iraq received the Pfeiffer Peace Prize from the Fellowship of Reconciliation. We've had Mark Johnson, the executive director nationally of Fellowship for Reconciliation on our program before. So, and I was pleased to see that work that you've done with in Iraq. And also, you've become part of an international peace organization. Could one of you tell us a bit about that?
I think Donna probably has more background on that one.
I probably do not.
Oh, okay. Well, I learned about it on your website, but apparently...
This is why we really wanted someone with much more institutional memory. Perhaps Talat can...
Fine. When we have Talat the second half of the program, yeah. I'll ask that question again. But the International Network for Peace is something that Peaceful Tomorrows here in this country is a member of now, and
yeah.
It's
yeah, and that is due to the efforts of Andrea LeBlanc. I also have to say about La Anse, that was an initiative really shepherded through by Terry Rockefeller, who was the former project director, who actually I think spent her entire life on that for several years.
a wonderful project in Iraq. Well, let me encourage listeners on the internet, particularly if there are other members of Peaceful Tomorrows who have something to add or share, do call us on our toll-free line. We're happy to have you be part of this conversation, and that's one way we can do this technically. We're limited as to how many people we can have on our phone lines with this in the studio. But the 1-800-222-9455 number is available for anybody listening online. Let me ask you another question, if I could, Donna. There's been a lot of talk about what is the appropriate U.S. response, and I notice in your bylaws where you list your purposes. One purpose is, of course, to work for peace, but there's another purpose, which is to respond effectively to the terrorists who did the violence at 9/11. Are those two in conflict in your mind?
No, I don't think. You know, I think about it in ways I always thought about raising my children and living my life. And Nancy and I have had a conversation along these lines, and you won't think ill of us if I say I am a person who was born and raised in New York City. I think kindness is a skill you cultivate over the years. You're not naturally born a kind person. I think sometimes social customs say if we speak in dulcet tones and we're nice face-to-face on a daily basis, then that's good enough, you know, for most people to get by and think they've lived a just and good life. It's not enough for me. I think kindness is really something you wrestle with. And I think it is something that you also have to demand, you know, people, you know, sort of give back to you. When we talk about, you know, violence and the tolerance for violence, and you know, I don't think anyone in Peaceful Tomorrows advocates, you know, necessarily turning the other cheek to the point where we leave ourselves vulnerable to future attacks. I think it is one of our premises that you really think about what contributed to the geopolitical environment that left us vulnerable in this way. What have we been neglecting when we think about how, you know, as a world power, the United States has treated other people? That doesn't mean that acts of violence against us are tolerable. We want people brought to justice. We just want them brought to justice in ways that are consistent with our values and with our Constitution. So, you know, I can say more if you like, or I can just sort of throw it over to Nancy. But I think we are all of a mind that we want those who perpetrated the acts against us to be brought to justice. But at the same time, we want to be thinking about what the U.S. has done in the past and can do in the future that might make these acts not happen anymore.
Nancy, would you care to add to that?
Yeah, I think that was very well said, and I want to add that, you know, the idea of not wanting to be just turning the other cheek, our thrust is very much that we do not want violence to occur again. So in the same way we don't want anyone to suffer what we suffered in any foreign country, we want no one to suffer what we suffered in our own country again.
Exactly.
We would not like, no one would like to see another 9/11 or anything close to that, and we would certainly not like to do anything as a country or see our country doing things that might, you know, stir up the kind of antipathy to United States. So I think we really do want to make sure that we communicate that well.
And also, can I just add?
Of course, Donna.
That to say that we believe we need to examine some of the geopolitical ramifications or our behaviors before 9/11 does not mean that the United States is responsible
for what happened on 9/11, that it is in no way tolerable to act against civilians in that way. It is unconscionable. It is hideous. None of us would for 1 minute sympathize with anyone who would perpetrate such an act. And it is in that vein that we question how our government could have done the same thing, mass casualties in Iraq, mass casualties.
Shock and awe.
Of innocent civilians across the globe. It just makes no sense to us, having been through this, how you could justify creating the same kind of grief and pain globally that you're going to argue justified that in our nation.
Yeah, I think that another issue that we should point out is Peaceful Tomorrows is comprised of people from, just like the people who were victims, from across the sphere of religious experience. You know, you're talking to Donna from New York, Nancy from Nebraska. We have our own personal experiences. You will later talk to Talat, who is a Muslim American. And we are all very much on the same page with our values. So our one of the things that we notice is that, you know, you get a lot of stereotyping going on about who people are with respect to their religion or their nationality. And I'll just, you know, relate an experience I had here in Nebraska. Just last spring, I was speaking to some junior high school kids, they were sixth graders, about religion and about whether there are good and bad religions. And, you know, I said, is there any religion that you really, you know, it's really bad, you really shouldn't be involved in? And they said, oh, yeah, you don't want to be a Muslim. And, you know, this is rural Nebraska. And I said, really? What makes you say that? Well, because they're all trying to kill us. And, you know, I just struggled with that here in 2009, mm-hmm. that there are children who think that because 8 years ago, those children were four years old. So they learned this. You know, they didn't experience 9/11 the way we did. And so they learned this. And how did they learn this? You know, through ways that should have been teaching tolerance and, you know, more of a world view. I mean, we're certainly all in this together. And when I explained to them that, you know, there are more peaceful Muslims in this world, far outweighing the extremists, you know, they were shocked. They were just shocked. They had this stereotype in their mind. And that's the kind of thing that I'd like to see people take a second look at. And I think you may hear more from Talat about her personal experiences, but it's the kind of thing that causes us to then do things that are not appropriate as a country, you know, to respond to attitudes. Now, if you went into, let's just say, Iraq, and you asked Iraqi children, you know, who the bad guys in the world are from a religious or national standpoint. You know, if American soldiers had just come through my village and, you know, or Americans had bombed my village and, you know, my family had been a casualty of that bombing, because we know that civilians are most of the time the ones who suffer the most.
Yes, that horrible phrase, collateral damage.
Yes. You know, then I wouldn't be surprised with their response if it were to be something about Americans. So, you know, it can happen on both sides of the equation, and it's inappropriate. Some of our group's members' trips to the foreign countries that they've been to has really helped to heal some of the attitudes, to let them know that, you know, we're all in this together. We don't want you hurt any more than anybody, and we certainly don't want you to have anger toward us.
Nancy, so, if I could...
It's the mentality.
Thank you. If I could ask you just one quick thing. In one of the articles that I saw that you had written, you talked about the price of peace activism.
Yes.
And some of the difficulties you'd had personally wearing something like a T-shirt that says war is costly, mm-hmm. peace is priceless, and bumper stickers like support our troops but bring them home, and yes. war is not pro-life, that you've had the kind of some of the responses you've had in the Midwest where you live.
Yes, it's been disappointing. You know, I try not to be too outspoken or, you know, too much constantly, you know, being out there with my views. But, of course, things like war is not pro-life, you might think that that would be an indisputable statement. But, you know, you just get attitudes sometimes. I mean, I've gotten hate mail. I've gotten... you know, if I write a letter to the editor, I've gotten some nasty letters to the editor printed against me. I've had people put notes, nasty notes on my car. My daughter and I were, you know, just holding up signs that said, support our troops, bring them home. My daughter was 8 years old, and people were, you know, giving her rude hand gestures. I can't understand that attitude, and it's all based around the same, you know, respond with anger kind of mentality that we would like to have people reconsider.
And I do think that, you know, one of our initiatives in Peaceful Tomorrow should be really in addressing the bifurcation of the American emotion. I mean, we take positions and we fight each other really hideously. And it's you know, it's... It actually predates 9/11, but we are in a very bad place emotionally as a nation. I really fear for what happens to our souls if nothing happens again in terms of, you know, dropping bombs and attacking other countries. We really don't know what it is anymore to have civil discussions about things that are really deeply held.
Let me reintroduce our guest. We're talking with two people from the organization September 11th Families for Peaceful Tomorrows. You can learn more about it at peacefultomorrows.org online. We're talking with the project director, Nancy Meyer in Nebraska, and with steering committee member Donna O'Connor in New York by phone. And in about 5 minutes... Nancy is going to ring off, as the British say, and we're going to be joined by Talat Hamdani, who has her own story to tell, who is a Muslim American, but who also lost a loved one in the 9/11 tragedy. Let me just mention in advance, Nancy, if your schedule permits, if you could perhaps listen online and make sure we have a good connection with Talat before you. We may need to call you back if our connection with Talat doesn't work out, but we'll be doing that in just 3 or 4 minutes. But let me ask one more quick question, Nancy, to you before we lose you. Have you always been a pacifist, or is this something new? And are you a total pacifist, or do you believe a defensive war may be appropriate?
Well, that's a very... Boy, that sure isn't a two-minute answer.
Well, I'll give you three.
you know, I would not say that I've always even thought about it, put it that way. I think the world went a little crazy after September 11th, and I had always much trusted that things would stay on a stable path and, you know, things wouldn't veer too much off the progress, you know, the path of progress. But I think things went so crazy after September 11th that I really had to take a very careful look at what I thought and how I felt about it. And, you know, it just hasn't been an easy path for me because, as I said, I never thought about it much before then. So, you know, maybe I have always been a pacifist and didn't know it. I would like to say, though, that it isn't just the loss of the family member that causes that. I think it's just the entire effect on the nation that makes people think twice about what's going on. I know that many people right now are still wondering why this happened. Why did 9/11 happen? I don't think people understand that. I think there needs to be a lot more national dialogue about that. I want to just bring up one thing that Peaceful Tomorrow's had a reaction to, because it was a recent nationally publicized event, and that was the USS New York that was commissioned in New York Harbor. That was something that we had difficulty with, because I don't know if you know about that warship. It's a it was built with metal from the World Trade Center. And it really saddened our organization to see that done, because it was a symbol. It was very much a symbol of what happens when you take down some towers after an attack and build up another symbol of violence.
A warship.
Yes, it did not need to happen. If that scrap needs to be done, something to be done with it, wouldn't it have been better for it to have been used to create schools and hospitals in foreign countries? And how much further that could go toward peaceful tomorrows than a threatening kind of vessel. So that's the sort of thing that I think if we were to only reconsider how we're using symbolism in this country and how we're using language and how we're using our fears about being attacked again or just our general safety, I think it would cause people to take a much more considered approach, and it would contribute to interrupting the cycle of violence.
Well, let me take this moment, since we're about halfway through our program, to thank Nancy Meyer for having been with us as project director for Peaceful Tomorrows. And do thank you for participating.
Thank you very much.
We'll take a moment, and Donna will continue with us in just a moment as we do some technical things here and try to add our third guest for this hour by phone. In the meantime, my name is Steve Shoemaker. I'm the usual host for these Keeping the Faith programs, and this is Illinois Public Media, WILL, 580 AM and 90.9 FM, HD2 and HD3 Urbana. And, of course, our programs can be heard online at will.illinois.edu. They can be heard live, and our programs are archived there, so you can listen to them at your convenience. If you missed part of this program and would like to listen to it, go to your computer and will.illinois.edu. Go to AM, look for Keeping the Faith, and you'll see a listing of our programs and dates and so on. You can listen as you like. Coming up next week on Keeping the Faith, our guest will be Maynard Britchford, who's the author of a recent book on Bob Zupke, who was for 29 years the University of Illinois football coach back when Memorial Stadium began and Red Grange was running on the field. And there were all kinds of issues that came up during Bob Zupke's three decades here as football coach involving sports and ethics. And we'll have some interesting talks about that with the author, Maynard Britchford, of the new book on Bob Zupke. On November 29th, our guest will be Professor Harry Triandis of the University of Illinois here in Urbana-Champaign, professor of psychology, about his new book, Fooling Ourselves, Self-Deception in Politics, Religion, and Terrorism. An interesting book that is a strong critique of religion and religious folks, and yet has some support for the value of religion. So we'll be talking with Professor Harry Triandis in 2 weeks. That's November 29th. And then December 6th, Dan Gullery, who is a poet, will be talking about reading some of his poems, talking about the life of Lincoln from his most recent book. Dan Gullery is from Millikan University. So those are some of the programs coming up here on Keeping the Faith, and I understand from our engineer, Kyle Crowley, that we do have our new pair on the air. Donna O'Connor returns with us for the second half of the program, and we've been joined by Talat Hamdani, who is a Muslim American and also lost a family member in the September 11 tragedy. For folks who've just joined us, we're talking with people from the organization September 11th Families for Peaceful Tomorrows. And for information about that organization, go to peacefultomorrows.org. And if you'd like to ask them a question or make a comment, do call us. This is a live program today, November 15, 2009. Call us at 1-800-222-9455. Or in Champaign-Urbana, if it's a local call, punch in 333-9455. Talat, let's begin with you, and thank you for joining us. Can you hear me all right?
Yes, I can. Thank you for having me.
Well, I appreciate very much your being willing to talk with us on the air. Tell us how you came to join this organization.
I was approached by them in the spring of 2002, and my husband and I, you know, we agreed by their mission statement and their vision that, you know, wars are a poor chisel for peaceful tomorrows. And the objective to turn our grief into positive action was very forceful, and, you know, it reached out to us, it really touched us, and what better way to contribute to society than, you know, positively giving back to the society, you know.
Now, I don't mean to bring up horrible memories, but I believe your story of how your late son was profiled is something that people need to hear. Could you tell us something about that?
Steve, right. The way it transpired, Salman worked in Midtown Manhattan at Howard Hughes Medical Institute. And this was his first job. He had just graduated from Queens College, chemistry major. He was looking to get into medical schools, and for that purpose, he had taken his certification as a paramedic, and he had also joined the NYPD as a cadet in 1999. And in 2001, July, he had landed this job. This was, I think, his third week at the job when 9/11 happened. And
his job as a paramedic?
No, he was as a DNA lab analyst, protein DNA lab analyst.
Oh, I see. Okay, all right.
Right. Paramedic, he worked at with some ambulance company out of Brooklyn.
Okay.
And he was putting in his hours. You're required to put in, you know, 20 hours a week with the police department as a cadet, so he was doing that on the side.
Yes.
But his full-time job had just started, and he left home that morning, you know, fateful morning, and most probably he saw the towers burning because he took the 7 train, you know, to get into Manhattan, and you can see all of Manhattan, and he responded to his call of duty. He never came home, and we went searching for him, and we reported him missing from, you know, the Twin Towers. I think it was the third day. And sadly, you know, it's sad, but because of his faith and his first name being Muhammad, there was a lot of, you know, investigation going on, and there was insinuation, you know, that maybe he was affiliated somehow with this, you know, the terrorists who attacked us that day, and a lot happened. He is mentioned in the Patriot Act as for his sacrifice and heroism, in the sense of Congress, Section 102. But what bothered me and still does, and I did announce, that they did find his remains in the third week of October 2001. However, they did not confirm it till March 20th, 2002. And Congressman Ackerman was the one who interrogated us and gave us the false hope that he could be detained with the federal government. That was cruel.
And so someone knew that he had died in the towers, but
they knew definitely that he had died, but you know, it was totally religious and racial profiling, that because, you know, why would he go there? So many other people responded voluntarily that
sure.
they were not investigated or interrogated.
Sure. And so there was some possibility, since you had no proof that he was dead, that he might have been detained, held incommunicado, and you had no way of knowing.
No way of knowing. And, you know, Congressman Ackerman made me write a letter to Ashcroft, the then Attorney General, asking him to release my son.
And for 6 months, you didn't know if he was alive or dead.
I mean, the hope that he was alive, even detained, was tremendous.
Yes. Well,
that's why I got so involved with the detainee issue, because if not my son, anyone, even if there's a single person who's detained, you know, who's innocent, there's a family waiting out there to know where he is.
We can understand why in the confusion there were many problems, but particularly for a Muslim American, I can see how it just must have been awful. We have Donna still on the line. Donna, I don't want you to go back to early days to make things any more painful, but what kind of stories have you heard from other people in Peaceful Tomorrows? Were there any others that parallel Talat's family's situation?
No. Not that I know of. I know, you know, my daughter was 4 months pregnant, and she was found whole and intact on September 24th, 2001. We were told that there were no whole bodies in the morgue, which turned out not to be true. She was pulled out intact, and we did not hear until January of 2002. And certainly there was a lot of rage to go around,
but
this was not an issue that, you know, again, Talat and I were in very different circumstances. I believe that my government would have done anything to pull my kid out alive. I don't think Talat felt the same way. She is the same American I am. We all came here. You know, So I think her story, from my perspective, is unique. I've heard none others.
Now, there are about 200 families who have been active in Peaceful Tomorrows. And, of course, there were over 3,000 victims. Do you feel that your organization has gotten an appropriate press, or has most of the attention been to families who were very supportive of violent responses to 9/11?
To be honest, I don't know that there has been a lot of attention to any families.
Uh-huh.
You know, on one side or the other, I don't know that it's a press issue about the, you know, September 11th, Families for Peaceful Tomorrows. I think, in general, we didn't really have deep discussions about 9/11. I think that's why there are so many misconceptions. I think there was, a lot of fear-mongering to go around. I think there was a lot of burying of the conversation. We had no lawsuits brought to American courts in any way. And, you know, and I think that is part of partly why people don't know that much about September 11th, Families for Peaceful Tomorrows. And, I think as time goes on, the work that the founders of this organization have done will be honored in a way that is appropriate. But it's so interesting to me that I don't think, and Talat, maybe you can answer this better than I, but I think the people who really started the ball rolling, I don't think they're out for glory. I don't think, you know, I think what they're interested in is really stopping the violence and bringing some sanity, you know, to the globe. I thought about this before 9/11. I could only, and this was in discussions with some of my students, when they would debate one issue or the other, and particularly American racism, people did not understand what was happening in Israel and Palestine. That's a deep discussion we've never really had in this country either. So I think it's all of a piece that we're kept mysterious on issues in the Middle East, and this is what we get for it.
It's a lot. Would you care to comment?
I agree with Donna. You know, I came here in 79, and the news over there was not only about what's happening in the country of Pakistan, where I hail from, but what's happening in neighboring countries, what's happening in Europe, what's happening in Africa. But over here, when we came, you know, it was very surprised. We were surprised that there was, you know, international news and domestic news, and international news was about the 50 states, and local news was about your state and your county. But no mention about what's happening in Europe, what's happening in other countries. And I think we have, because of that policy, whatever the policy was imposed, we have isolated ourselves, and there is no exposure to other countries' news, per se, except that we are fighting a war over there, or, you know, Russia is doing this. All negative, you know, projection of other countries. There are nations, you know, Arab is a culture, then there are many Arabian nations. Southeast is a different culture, many nations exist over there, and so does in Africa. But I think there was a part of some sense of arrogance and superiority, yeah, that we are the best and we don't need to talk to them. Now, I think in the last few years, because of the digitalization of the globe, you know, people were able to go on the internet and read for themselves what's happening in Iraq, you know. We kept saying we are winning the war, but over there it's the same day, same moment, and videos are going up by common people that, you know, how they view us as occupiers. And I think that is necessary. That's why we have to educate, like Donna said, you know, educate our public, you know, about other nations, other faiths, other cultures, and have mutual respect, you know, because we live in a mutually interdependent world.
Well, thank you for giving such a good ad for National Public Radio and our world news from the BBC that comes on daily, because I think, of course, NPR is a real exception, that there are ways to learn about what's happening around the world on certain radio stations throughout the country. But I think your comment is exactly right about Americans' narrow vision through the media and individually. But thank you for those comments. Let me introduce our guests again before we go on. We're talking with Donna O'Connor in New York, who's on the steering committee of September 11th Families for Peaceful Tomorrows. And we're also talking with Talat Hamdani, who is a Pakistani-American, a Muslim-American, both of whom lost children in the tragedies of 9/11, and yet have chosen to respond by being part of an organization working for peace and against violence and against revenge. Let's talk a little bit, Donna, about the way Peaceful Tomorrows works. We mentioned in the first half of the program that people can learn more about it by going online to peacefultomorrows.org. A very good website. If people don't have access to the internet, is there anything they can do? Is there a phone number they could call?
Yes, and in fact,
or place to write for a brochure. I know you have brochures.
Yes, and if you give me a minute, I will get you the phone number. But you know, it's one of those issues where my phone numbers are all in my brain, are, you know, all on my technology. And
of course.
So I actually have to go and turn on some technology to get to a phone number. It never even occurred to me to have the phone.
I'm sorry. Well, while you're doing that, let me ask Talat, what are some of the activities that you've been involved with Peaceful Tomorrows?
Sure. I went to represent Peaceful Tomorrows in 2006 in Japan. It was a Women's International Peace Conference. And I got a it was a nice trip, you know, but I got a very raw deal and I understood, you know, how we are portrayed over there and why they are anti-American. They told me, the women over there, they actually came to me with this complaint that they need our assistance to inform the American government that the troops, our military troops that are based in there out of Okinawa, and there are more than 120, you know, bases that we have, that they raped their Japanese minors, and a girl was, you know, gang raped by three American sailors, and they are immune from any and from the local justice, you know, system. They are not; it doesn't apply to them. So I was very embarrassed, and I really apologized. You know, I said I'm sorry to hear this, and I did inform Peaceful Tomorrows. So we are not, you know, respected anymore out there in the world, although they have so many bases over there. And at the meeting, at the big conference, a lady also spoke up from in the Q&A session. She was she made a comment about the troops, you know, and I said, you know, I do not agree with you because these troops, they are following the orders. You cannot hold the troops accountable for the policies of the government. And that's what needs to be addressed, you know. The policies need to be modified because at the end of the day, then our troops bear the brunt and they are the ones who are on the line with their life, risk their life on the line, and it's not fair to them.
Talat, as you've talked to various people around the country and around the world about your experience in losing your son, as a Muslim family in 9/11, have people asked you about the Quran and the teachings of the Prophet, peace be upon him, in terms of attitudes towards other religions and violence? How have you responded?
Well, they do ask me. Yeah, there are two questions, you know, that they ask me. One, which is very common. Why do you know? Muslim men can have four wives, you know. And my answer is, you know, at least they're better than the Mormons. But the question about that, you know, jihad is legitimate in Quran, and it is only for the purpose of self-defense. And that is under the constitution of every nation.
And so you...
without saying that if one is attacked, you know, even on a personal level, if I am attacked, I will defend myself. Nowhere it says that, you know, you go and kill women or innocent people and, you know, do suicide bombing and you will go to heaven. It doesn't say so anywhere in the Quran. Of course, you can take sentences out of context and put them, piece, you know, piece by piece, meet them together into a paragraph and then, you know, indoctrinate these people, you know, who go about doing suicide bombing.
And so have you had support from other Muslims in your work as a Muslim for a peaceful response to 9/11? Are there other Muslims?
They appreciate, yes, definitely. They do appreciate what I am doing. They support me. Immediately after 9/11 happened, I was invited, you know, to speak at all the Muslim, like, care organization and ICNA and ISNA, you know, and by other, you know, American universities. I spoke at Columbia, at NYU, at Stony Brook, at Queens College, you know, so the past 3 years I've been very active somewhere. Also, we went to a university, I think it was in the Midwest. And our message, you know, is that wars is not violence, is not going to solve anything.
I'm afraid we're going to have to stop there. We're getting close to our end time, and I do want to give Donna a chance, if she's found the information, to share with us how people can contact Peaceful Tomorrows.
You can write to us at Peaceful Tomorrows, P.O. Box 1818, Peter Stuyvesant Station, New York, New York, 10009.
Let me repeat that. That was Post Office Box 1818, Peter Stuyvesant Station, New York, New York, 10009.
And the phone number is 212-598-0970.
All right. So to call, if you'd like more information, call during business hours to 212-598-0970. For information, and you may email, if you do have access to computers, info@peacefultomorrows.org, or go to their website, peacefultomorrows.org. And I want to thank all three of our guests for being on our program this afternoon. We've been talking with Donna O'Connor and Talat Hamdani, members of the Steering Committee of Peaceful Tomorrows, and before that with the Project Director, Nancy Meyer from Nebraska, by phone. And thank you so much for being on the phone and sharing.
Thank you for having us.
My name is Steve Shoemaker. I'm the usual host for these Keeping the Faith programs, and I might just mention that one of the difficulties we have with these live programs where we interview people by phone is we are a bit limited with our technology. We're still using 1980s phone systems here. And although we have a wonderful a new facility, thanks to the generosity of donors, it is important to keep supporting WILL financially so we can upgrade some things that are still carryovers from earlier days so we can bring you even better programming. It would have been nice to have all three guests, for example, on the air at the same time. So people who would like to donate to WILL, you all know how to do it. Go online to will.illinois.org and you can find out about donating to WILL. Coming up on Keeping the Faith programs next week, Maynard Bridgeford will be our guest, talking about Bob Zupke for 29 years, the University of Illinois football coach. Some interesting ethical issues happened during those 30 years, not so different from today. November 29th, our guest will be Harry Triandis, a professor of psychology at the University of Illinois. His new book, Fooling Ourselves, Self-Deception in Politics, Religion, and Terrorism. December 6th, our guest will be Dan Gullery from Millikan University. He's a poet who recently has a new book out talking about events in the life of Lincoln. Thanks for listening to Keeping the Faith.
You've been listening to Keepin' the Faith, the production of WILL AM 580. The opinions expressed on this program are solely those of the participants.
I'm Susan Hopkins. When we had little kids and a mortgage, we made small gifts to WILL. Then a friend mentioned that WILL was so important to him, he thought it was worth a dollar a day. I thought, wow. His advocacy for WILL has stayed in my mind. Recently, we found a creative way to give to the endowment fund using non-cash assets. I invite you to think creatively about giving, too, when the time is right, for you.
I'm Donda Beard at WILL. For more information, call 217-333-9393.
At least 120 journalists have been killed in Iraq since the war began. Their targets were insurgents. But what are journalists to the U.S. military? A necessary evil or weapons of war? I'm Jim Fleming. Next time, under the best of our knowledge, it's Boots on the Ground, Stories from the War in Iraq, Part 4, Covering the War. It's To the Best of Our Knowledge from PRI, Public Radio International.
Sunday evening at 7. Today's broadcast is made possible with support from these business partners: Birchtree Counseling and Consulting, Champaign; Cannon Farm, Camargo; Carpet Weavers, Champaign; and Dick's Pharmacy, Arthur. These business partners join the friends of WILL in making great programs possible. Thank you.